see no member of the public here to comment. So we'll move on to item three, regular items. A, minutes, recommended approval of minutes.
So moved.
Page three.
Second.
And can I make a brief comment on the minutes before we move on, please? The minutes that you see here are the last version of the minutes you're going to see in this format. They're going to be going to a new format that won't have quite as much written detail because you will be able to go to the actual agenda packet and the minutes and click on each agenda item if you so wish.
Here, I can show you here. See the minutes here, and we come over here to...
You locked us out.
Oh, the... Yeah, this is the only door that's open. Sorry.
We figured that out.
I'm sorry.
It's not a problem.
There's
the minute. We finally decided to not do the minutes review, so we came in that way.
What the hell did you do?
He hurt himself.
Yeah, well...
Somebody didn't like his audit.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That happens when clients get up. Now I will run in with a joiner, and unfortunately I lost. About an inch.
Ooh.
That's kind of the general comment I get. Yeah, it was not one of my shining moments. But it's healing up good. Another week. That would work.
I did have one correction.
That's what push sticks are
okay.
For.
A trick out of the
number 13.
Finish the cabinet
okay.
Door.
I'm not the chair.
Oh, that is a typo. Yes.
I'm glad you get oil.
Yeah. I'm tough.
You're going to become extremely cautious from now on.
Yeah,
but
it won't stop me from doing it.
Yeah.
I've been woodworking since I was a kid.
You can get closer than you did before?
Yeah, I get a little closer.
By an inch.
Yeah, so the minutes will continue to have the board members' comments. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
we were just to backtrack real quickly. With the new agenda process, and it's good that you're new because this probably doesn't seem so different to you, but for the board members that have been on GP1 for a while, this format looks quite new to them. We're going through a new software system, and we're kind of piggybacking on the county's process, which allows us to go online and stream. We're not able to stream live for this meeting because we don't have Wi-Fi in this building here, but any meetings that are held in the Board of Supervisors chambers or in any location that has Wi-Fi, we can actually stream the meeting live, which is one benefit to going to IQM2. The other benefit is the agenda preparation process is much faster. And it also provides a lot more accessibility to the public because they can not only see the, in the past we always posted our agenda cover sheet online, but you wouldn't have any of the substance to the agenda that was accessible online. And now this makes it very easy. And Bryn can attest that it is so streamlined that she can't believe that the packets are out. because before she would have to go in and every meeting post things online, go into the county's website service and manually post them online. Now once it's finalized, it is automatically posted. She doesn't have to do anything. So with that, there's a little bit of change and we're still working through some tweaks in the process. The minutes, as I was stating, will change. This is the last version of the fully detailed minutes. We're going to continue to provide the board's comments, so anything that you state will be reflected in the minutes. But my summary isn't going to be included. And quite frankly, I don't think it's really necessary, because usually my summary is a summary of my agenda write-ups, which are very detailed and thorough, I feel.
So shorten your time period also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and shorten Bryn's time spent preparing the minutes as well. So feel free to give me your comments and reflections after you see the new version, if you absolutely hate it, or if you dislike it, or you love it. Anyway, I want to hear your opinion, so let me know what your thoughts are on it. We can certainly, you know, work and kind of find a happy medium, but the purpose of it is to streamline and create efficiencies. And the minutes going forward, you would be able to click on each agenda item and actually hear that specific agenda item in its entirety. And you wouldn't have to listen to a full recording of the entire meeting. If you just wanted to hear about the audit being approved and whether there was any comments in that regard, you could just click on it and listen to that specific agenda item and be done.
Clarification there, that's only on the minutes when we have a Wi-Fi connection.
No, but they can go after. So she's recording now.
Yes, you're recording now, right?
Yeah.
And so you have a way of uploading that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all meetings will have that ability.
Very good.
That's all I had about
it. And if anybody wants to see it, I can show you on my iPad here tonight what it's going to look like. After the meeting, we can spend a few minutes if you want, so desire.
Yeah, and I can, if there's any interest, I can provide a training session on IQM too for any of the board members that are interested in accessing more detail from the new software system. There's a lot of benefits to it. But it will take some of your time, and I'm more than happy to continue to provide the full packets to the board.
Thank you. I think we had a motion to accept the minutes.
Second to accept. And I'll modify that to include the changes.
Okay. That's correct. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Carries. Moving along to item B, warrant register. Approval of warrants, draft funded. Recommend approval of $6,489.50 in direct expenses and $6,618.31 in expenses reimbursed to JPA 2, total $13,107.81.
Question.
Okay.
All the newspapers, is advertising for something, I assume, or?
Yes, and you will see in the next two cycles of warrants quite a few expenses for advertisement. That's as part of the HD19 CalRecycle reuse facility grant that we have. All expenditures for that grant have to be incurred by March 31st. So we are finishing up our outreach for the grant, so that's all of the advertising costs that you see there is all grant funded through that grant to promote our reuse facilities, both our mobile and permanent facilities. And you'll also see quite a few costs in finalizing that grant in the next few months.
Thank you.
Is your motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number two, approval of warrants. I don't think I really need to read everything on here. Most of you also went to school, so just take a moment to look that over. Do we have a motion? Approval of warrants non-grant
money. So Greg Einhorn is the agency's legal counsel. That's for legal expenses. CEC Eco Solutions is hazardous waste disposal and management costs. Flint Defiance AIDS project, I know it's a very small amount. That was a sales tax that wasn't added on the previous statement. I can feel free to answer. We're going to be cutting off Clearwire at the end of March. That will be our last month of Clearwire. We've had it in our
How is the digital path working?
It's good. It's real good. We haven't had very, very minimal issues with it, and it's been, I would say, 95% better than Clearwire, which is
And I noticed you've gone to all county email addresses.
We had to, because when we cut off with Clearwire, our previous emails were associated with Clearwire, so mine was recycle@clearwire.net and Bren's was tc4r@clearwire. When we close those, that Clearwire internet service, they're going to cut off those email addresses. They're not even going to forward our emails. And so that's why we gave the gap period between the two, because we wanted to make sure that everybody that we're in contact with is very well aware of our new email addresses, and I was very concerned about it during the RFP process for landfill north operations. Yeah, it's in the bottom of all of our email addresses, so people are getting quite apprised. And I also sent out a notice, and so did Bryn, to everybody on our contact list.
All set?
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Number four, regular grant, landfill only, fiscal year in 2011-12, independent update. I'll get this down.
Whatever I hear.
So you should, separate from your agenda packets, you should have received previously the fiscal year 11-12 independent audit. I did include the management discussion and analysis, which is my interpretation of the audit. I'm not going to summarize it in detail, but I do think that it's important to note that while there was an operating loss from fiscal year 2011 to 2012, the agency has made significant strides in reducing that operating loss. First being the establishment of an AB 939 fee by JPA2 on this agency's behalf to supplement this agency's funding and operating loss. In the past, when times were good, interest income fully funded this agency, and we even had, it was thought that this agency couldn't spend all of its money. In the good times, we were receiving over $260,000 in interest income each year. That was back in 2006, 2007. Compared to today, on a very similar fund balance, we're now bringing in, you know, if we're lucky, $30,000. So our interest income has declined significantly. Because of that, JPA2 was kind and they passed an AB 939 fee, which helps to reduce that operating loss to the tune of about $45,000 to $50,000 per year. The only other remaining items that cause the operating loss is hazardous waste disposal. The AB 939 per statute, that fee cannot cover hazardous waste disposal and management costs. So we still have an operating loss of about $30,000 per year for the operation of the hazardous waste facility. Both JPA1 and JPA2 split the cost of managing and disposal for the hazardous waste facilities at the tune of, depending on the year, $30,000 to $35,000 each per year. The new contract, no matter who ends up operating the landfill, that problem will be resolved because it's included in the franchise fee payment that's asked to be paid by the contractor, and if the agency assumes it, it's assumed in the agency's cost structure. So going forward, fiscal year 14-15 and part of 13-14, that issue will be solved. That only leaves one item on JPA1's budget that doesn't have a funding source associated with it, and that is the methane gas loan. On a positive side, while it's a $33,000 payment each year, because the agency has to keep over 62 years worth of payments in a private bank each year, that loan will be paid off in 2015. If the agency wanted to keep those funds separately in that private bank and keep the loan for another 2 years, it can do so. And then the loan will be paid off in 2017. I'll turn it over to Dawn. This was our first year working with Dawn. I will admit that it was a very, I think he learned a lot. And it was
hopefully it was a good experience for both.
It was a good working relationship, I think.
I think that you've had a pretty good presentation of the numbers, so I think I'll hit the things that are germane to me as an auditor. One of the things that I always, I'm not used to the lecturing being backwards, I'm just a little lamed up here. I'm just going to use Andrew Day with it on here. One of the things that I always like to point out as an auditor is that these financial statements are not my financial statements, they're your financial statements. And it's amazing to me how many clients refer to them as the auditor's financial statements. Well, the reality is I only own about 2 pages in those statements, and those are the ones with my signature on it. Everything else is a product of your operations, your staff, your fiscal officer, and we massage it into a formal financial statement, but those numbers are yours. And as I say, I think you've gotten a pretty good overview of where you're at. Frequently in an agency such as this, we'll see one of the contributing factors to the net operating loss is frequently depreciation, which we can then discuss as being a non-cash expenditure, but because JPA-1 has very little in the way of fixed assets, that's not a big contributing factor here. The one non-cash item that is on there, though, is your post-closure costs. Now, that's something that isn't draining your cash reserves, but it's certainly a liability that's looming large in the distance. If you look at the financial statements and you look at the footnotes, you'll see that there's a prior period adjustment that we made, and the reason we did that is because the prior auditor in the last fiscal year didn't recognize the engineering studies and make the appropriate adjustments to the unused capacity calculations in order to properly reflect what your post-closure liability should have been. And with staff's help this year, we went through that calculation in pretty good detail, and I think we concurred that we were on the right basis now and moving forward. They simply took the old methodology and rolled it forward into last year's audit instead of recognizing that now you're required to have the engineering study every year in order to accurately determine what your capacity is, or more appropriately, I guess, what your unused capacity is. So we did make a prior period adjustment. The document, and we'll get to that in a second, the document that I just passed out is called Auditor's Communication with Those Charged with Governance. And what this is a synopsis of basically how I saw the audit during the performance of the audit and what I think were the results of the audit process versus the document that you received. My audit opinion, we issued an unqualified opinion, which means that I believe that your financial statements do fairly present your financial position and the results of your operations for that year ended June 30, 2012. This document explains what my responsibilities as an auditor are vis-a-vis you as manager of the district, and also whether or not we encountered any problems along the way, if we had to make any journal entries, what were they for. In both JPA and JPA-2, because you utilized the county as a fiscal agent, there are certain limitations that go along with that, and that is that the county, for whatever reason, in prior years, has been reluctant to post certain journal entries in order to make sure that the county's financial statements and your financial statements are the same. And when I took over the audit, I noticed that the prior auditor has been rolling forward about $5 million worth of adjustments for the liabilities that the county doesn't reflect on the books. And it's my intention to talk to Krista and get that resolved so that the counties, there's no reason for them not to have it on there. It doesn't mean that they have to maintain it. It's a once-a-year adjustment. It's a fairly straightforward calculation that can be done at the end of the year as soon as the engineering study's in. There's no reason why the county's records, which are the official books and records of the JPA, shouldn't reflect all of your assets and all of your liabilities. And I'll have that conversation with Krista, and I don't think that's going to turn out to be a problem.
With Krista or with Leroy?
I think I can work through Krista, because I mean, she's pretty much the nuts and bolts person over there. I mean, if I need to get Leroy involved, I can, but I don't think it'll be necessary. I think it's really just a matter of getting her the information. There's no pushback there at all. I think it's just the fact that it's never been provided to me in the past.
It's never been asked.
Yeah, I don't think the prior auditor ever made an effort to, generally except the accounting principle says that your books and records should reflect all of the assets and all the liabilities of your organization, and it doesn't make sense not to have it on there.
And you will get back to me if you run
into pushback. If I get any pushback, I'll certainly let you know, and I just don't think it's going to happen. If I provide them with all the information, they have no reason not to. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to them one way or the other. So I think that's just a matter of getting them the information on a timely basis so they can do something like it, and it just hasn't been done in the past. But I would like to see your general ledger maintained so that when we come in to do the audit, we're not rebuilding last year's general ledger in order to have something to audit. I don't think that's appropriate. So we're going to fix it. And if you look on page 3, the top of the page, you'll see that the adjustments that were proposed is this is a synopsis basically of those items, and it's also a restatement of the journal entry description for the prior period adjustment. But that's really the only thing that I ran into in the course of the audit that I think really should be addressed during this year in order to get your books and records where they ought to be. Other than that, the audit process went very well. Staff's cooperation was tremendous. You've got good people. Obviously, because of the nature of the JPA, there's always a problem with adequate staffing and separation responsibilities. That's true of all small organizations. The JPA, both 1 and 2, have decided that the solution to that problem is to use the county and use their systems in order to backfill that. And I think given the situation, that's the best alternative you've got. The cost of hiring staff to provide that kind of service would just destroy your budget. It's not economically feasible, and it doesn't make any sense. The county's available, and they're willing. And as long as that's the case, I think that's perfectly acceptable. And that's why you don't see a recommendation in the financial statements this year about separation of responsibilities. Typically, we see that in small organizations and courts adopted the best alternative possible to mitigate that. Other than that, there were no disagreements with management. I've received a management representation letter. There were no other audit findings. So, given that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. I think it's spelled out pretty clearly here, but if there's anything else I can help you with, I'd be happy to answer questions. If you haven't had a chance to go through the statements, you can always call my office. I may not always be there, but I'm always accessible and I do return phone calls. So I'd be happy to talk to any of you at any time. I like to try to keep communication open with the various boards and commissioners or directors, whoever it might be, because a lot of the things that you see in the district that you might consider to be problems are things that I need to know about. As an auditor, you know, my job is pretty broad. Nowadays we do what's called risk-based auditing. It's not like the old days where we went in and basically licked and ticked the balance sheet and said, yeah, you got cash and yeah, you got assets. Now we look at the organization on a much broader standpoint, and we look to see where is the organization at risk? Where are the places that your assets might become encumbered? You know, where are there opportunities where somebody could actually abscond with your assets, anything like that that might put the district at risk. And so anytime anything comes to your attention or staff's attention, you know, we need to know about it. And you know, we're always willing to dig just a little bit deeper in those areas and see if there's anything there and offer recommendations or whatever assistance we can to help mitigate those things so that there isn't a problem down the road. So, as I say, if you ever have questions or curiosities, please always feel free to call.
The checks and balance, I feel, between the agency and the auditor's office, I feel are very adequate. Because not only do I check the claims, but then the auditor's office checks the claims prior to payment, and then the agency, then the board of directors, then approves the claims, and then they're audited at the end of each fiscal year as well. So I feel that even though we're a small agency, that we have adequate checks and balances in place that would prevent.
Question in regards to that process. We're approving the claims tonight, we just approved so. Now they go to the auditor for payment, or are they already at the auditor and paid?
They're already at the auditor.
So when we approve them, theoretically, they've already been paid?
Yes. So they would have to retract payment. And that the reason for that is that this board meets every other month. It would be quite a long time between payments of bills, even when the board met monthly, that was still the same situation.
Yes. The only time anything like that would change is if it was out of budget, you know, because you're in budget on all those, so there's no
reason.
So if it's something out of budget, then it would be different if we come here first before. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty typical of a situation like this. Because basically what you're doing is you're interjecting the auditor controller. You've got two sets of eyes. You've got your own staff reviewing and approving at a management level the disbursement. Then the whole packet goes over and the county has standards by which they will not make payment. So unless all of the documents are there, all the supporting documents are there to support the disbursement, then the auditor controller's office won't cut a warrant unless they have all the paperwork. Right. So you're basically getting at least two sets of eyes on it before it goes out the door. And so what you're doing at this point is ratifying it. And so you're relying on the county auditor controller to basically be your eyes as the second check. And I know just from experience working with your auditor controller, as I say, they won't issue a warrant unless they have all the paperwork. If there's anything missing, they'll kick it back. Mm-hmm.
Right. And we've had things kicked back.
Yeah, they're
not because there's anything wrong with it, but just the mileage claim there. That doesn't have the agenda for the meeting attached to it gets kicked back.
Yeah. They're
I'm just questioning the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now they're pretty careful about it. And like I say, you know, as an auditor, we have to look at the process, and we have to look and see, you know, are there sufficient checks and balances. And in this particular case, because the auditor controller is as thorough as they are, we can rely on their system as a supplement to your system, and that provides the second set of eyes. Otherwise, we would be recommending that one of the board members review and sign off before it went into the warrant process. Because ultimately the responsibility falls back here.
Also move acceptance of the audit report.
Second. Any further discussion? Being none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Outreach update.
Thank you. Get well.
Next time I'll see you with, well, one and a half good hands.
Very good. Be safe.
Are you going to be able to type?
You know, actually, I use voice recognition software.
Before you
it works amazingly well. I am.
and it works amazingly well.
I'm sure it'll adjust.
It's come a long ways. I used it years ago, and you had to spend hours and hours trying to train it.
Training it.
And now it's pretty much load and go. I'm very impressed.
Good.
It has a little trouble with capitalization and some of those things. And it capitalizes funny words sometimes, but it really is an amazing product. And so it's sped up my workload quite a bit while this has been going on. Fortunately, I'm left-handed, so.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm surviving, but thank you for your concern.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
Am I up?
Yep.
Okay. I'm referring to page 21 for the outreach update. And passing around our ad here. Oh, just short. This ad was provided by agency staff to the Red Bluff Daily News. They have an annual community resource guide publication that they put out. It came out in March, and we have two full pages. They open facing each other, so it's kind of a nice quick resource glance for folks that live here, of course, and that are from visiting out of town, stating what is recyclable here in Tama County. Also with the Red Bluff Daily News, we provided a press release for household hazardous waste collection as well as electronic waste collection. Those two press releases were also provided to the Corning Observer. We also contributed waste reduction and recycling information to the Lake California POA. They've been very generous in allowing us a page. Usually it's a page, maybe a little shy of a page, just to share recycling information with residents in that area.
Have you tried the Rattler and Rancho Payne?
No, I was not aware of that.
And they have one, I think it comes out monthly. It's a POA newspaper called the Rattler. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, so I don't know. But we used to get it at the sheriff's office, but I haven't seen one come to the board office, so I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but it would be the POA.
Okay, I'll look in on that. And that would be easy just to basically use the same information cost effective that way. Thank you. We also provided a presentation to the Cabernet Apartments, the tenants there. They're really a great group of people to work with. They're also SBA members, our Smart Business Alliance. They pulled together a fun evening for tenants to come and listen to my presentation, and you know, they had gifts and that kind of thing, door prize, I should say. We also provided well over 200 recycling tote bags, and forgive me, I should have brought one in. But the idea is each tenant gets one for their apartment unit. And it's basically a spot where they can collect recyclables and then carry that entire reusable tote out to the recycling bins on that campus, dump it out, dump the contents out, and then keep the blue recycling tote for use again. They're pretty neat. They have a flat bottom so they can sit on the ground, you know, in a closet or something, or in the kitchen. They also have a loop to hang in a closet, so tried to make it flexible. Another presentation was given to the Corning Rotary Club in February, providing information about recycling, of course. And agency staff is assisting the Mercy High School, their student council, in preparing a recycling pep rally. And that's ongoing, actually, with the school and working with the council.
That would bring another one. Bryn, do you use anything in the school newspaper? Like the Bluffer?
We do advertising on the Rebel High School radio station, but we don't do anything in the school.
I think all three of the high schools have a newspaper.
Okay. Yeah, we can look into that.
Mm-hmm. Another Red Bluff is called the Bluffer. I don't know what else. I don't know what Los Molinos is, and I don't know what Sacred Heart uses for their high school. But I know they got kids coming to this high school, Chico.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if a student's writing and needs an article and or something to write about as a topic.
Or you could always just send them the same thing you're sending the Lake County POA.
Yeah.
Or Lake California POA, and they can insert it if they want.
Good, thank you. Staff conducted outreach education during the BEAM event, which was hosted by the Red Bluff Chamber of Commerce. It's an after-hours mixer. It was a first of its kind that they've sponsored, and then it was really quite successful. There's a whole mix of different businesses over at the Elks Lodge. Yeah, and we had a booth there. And we also brought our REAP trailer, our reuse trailer. So we promoted all of our programs during that event, including our sharps containers and our fluorescents, as you can read in my write-up here. The REAP trailer was presented to redistribute reusable products during the BEAM event and was also promoted during three other events as well. And this is informational only. No further actions required.
Number three, HD19 recycle, Cal recycle reuse facility.
As I briefly touched upon previously, we're finishing up our 19th cycle household hazardous waste discretionary grant. That's the grant that I also call the reuse facility grant, because that's the primary goal of the grant, is to develop reuse opportunities through our household hazardous waste facility. So how it works is a lot of the waste that we receive at our household hazardous waste facility is not in fact waste. It's just materials and products that for whatever reason people don't want anymore. A lot of times it's cleaning products and paints and stains and solvents that are in perfectly good condition. Well, instead of paying the disposal costs, which at times can be more than the actual cost to purchase the product new, we thought that we would give the material back out to the public. And so we developed a permanent reuse facility at the landfill, and then also a mobile REAP trailer. And we call the program REAP. It's the reuse of available products. And so we've brought the mobile REAP trailer to about 14 different events throughout the county during the grant term. We've given, 8 or 10 presentations to the local community in addition to being at the farmers markets and at the Tehama District Fair. And then we've given presentations at regional conferences as well as part of the grant, and it's all funded through this 19th cycle hazardous waste grant. All of the expenditures must be complete by April 1st, as I previously indicated, so we're busily finishing up the final items for the grant. At 13 farmers markets and other events, we redistributed over 2,527 pounds of material to the public free of charge. And then the permanent facility has redistributed 842 pounds, but note that that facility has only been open since right about November 1st, 2012, so it's only been a short period of time. We are very pleased with the success of the REAP program. Not only is it saving the agency considerable disposal costs, to give you a ballpark figure, we spend about $35,000 to $40,000 each year on hazardous waste disposal costs. That's a significant amount of money. So if we can reduce that and not send the material that's in good condition and actually give it back out to the public, it's an added benefit not only to the environment, because we're not shipping it to a hazardous waste landfill, but also to our own budgets and to our residents' budgets as well. I'm not going to read all of the bulleted items, but we've done a considerable amount of grant-funded advertising. The grant actually funded a lot more advertising than what we've done here. I was able to get CalRecycle to allow us to move some of the funds elsewhere because we didn't need to use that much funding for advertising. One of the nice benefits that they did allow us to do is they allowed us to hold extra hazardous waste collection events. So they funded the staff time to hold those extra events, which normally would fall under the burden of our typical budget. And so that we're holding extra events that we don't have to pay for. Good thing. If you'd like me to highlight any of these other items, I can. We've been giving numerous presentations, both locally and regionally. I was asked to give a presentation in Berkeley as part of the Northern California Recycling Association. So we just yesterday gave a presentation there as part of that program. And the reason being is that there's a lot of interest statewide in duplicating our local reuse program. We received an award a few months back for that program for innovation. And so it's nice to hear that, you know, good, you never know how a program's going to turn out when you have a brainstorm, and when it actually works out, it feels pretty good. And it's nice to get some recognition for all of my staff's hard work that they're doing for it. All of our documentation to develop a reuse facility, you have to have a quality assurance plan per the health and safety code. So we developed a quality assurance plan that is available on our website so that other jurisdictions can easily duplicate that and don't have to recreate the wheel. So all of our documentation for the grant is available on our website for any other jurisdiction that's interested in duplicating the program. We also conducted 3 surveys, and at the next JPA 1 meeting, I'll be pleased to report the results of the survey. And it was extremely, I'm still finalizing the analysis, but it was extremely interesting. And just one really interesting fact that I found from it was over 50% of women ages 41 to 62 access social media, so sites like Facebook, daily. But I wasn't as surprised in the younger age bracket, but 41 to 62 year old women are accessing social media
and then
a lot more frequently than I anticipated. But those are good things to know, because I know the county has some apprehensions to social media, but I really think that we're missing the boat.
I agree with you, and we're pushing for that. Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to make some safety precautions and make sure that we have things in line, and so that, you know, there's not...
If the broadband grant gets approved for the Golden Bear Northeastern California Consortium, mm-hmm. and we are able to put fiber in for the middle mile, we will then start pushing for other issues. Mm-hmm. So I was at a 3-day seminar last week in regards to broadband.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for free advertisement, free outreach to our programs. And one of the other things that we learned is while we advertised and we did outreach very heavily, most of the people that knew about our REAP program were not 18 to 30. But why is that? Are we not attending the right events, or are we not on social media where they're frequenting?
Not on social media, they are. The other thing I would like for you to, in regards to that, like you do some research, is what would it take to put a Wi-Fi spot at the landfill? So if somebody is either unloading or at the scale house, and you provide a free Wi-Fi spot, and in order to use the Wi-Fi, they have to give you your email address, which gives you a database to reach out.
Send our newsletters. Yeah.
But when they put in that as they're putting in their email address, you have a advertisement that is on their screen, such as the REAP program or REAP oil or whatever. Last week at this conference in the hotel, you got free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But you had to read their advertisements and enter your email address, and that was all the charge. And we have to start moving to that direction.
And so that's all I have, but we'll certainly look into that and see what we can come up with. Friends doing the e-blasts that are, when we have people fill out our survey, we ask them if they would like a monthly e-newsletter. And so she's gotten quite a few email addresses from it. We're not completely clear how many people are reading them, and so we're trying to shorten them and make them, you know, just have one point so somebody can get through it very quickly. And so we're adapting, but one of the things that we're trying to help us gauge how many people are actually reading them is that on the bottom she's offering a free Chico bag that we've purchased with some grant funds that we had years back, that if they respond and tell us how they're recycling more, that we give them a free Chico bag, and we haven't gotten a huge response. So I'm not completely clear, but we also are needing to shrink the text, and she just did that last time, so hopefully we'll get more readership by shrinking the text. Before it was like a full page newsletter, and I think it was kind of too much information for somebody to.
Christina, if you said I didn't catch it, have you applied for another grant for this? Or
we did. You approved it last night.
Okay. All right. Is that what that was?
Yeah. And so this board will be, it's I think the next agenda item, considering the same resolution it should be.
No, we're done for tonight.
I didn't see it.
It's not on this agenda.
Oh my God, it got somehow missed out.
That the same one, the county, or
it was on,
yesterday morning?
Yeah, ours was on our consent last night, huh? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did that not get pulled over to it? There was a whole agenda item. Can we do an emergency action item? Because that will be a problem.
Yeah. Any objection to that?
I haven't.
You guys did it yesterday.
We did it yesterday morning also.
Yeah,
that
was something didn't get transferred over in this new system. I need to look into that. Why that didn't happen.
Well, you can make a presentation on that, so.
I can, because we have the resolution. So the agency is applying for a grant, and the main goals of the grant are, it's about a $74,000 grant, and the main goals, and this is a very quick grant cycle for this grant. Basically, CalRecycle had some extra grant funding that they decided that they were going to disperse, and so what they're doing is they're asking local jurisdictions to apply. Regional agencies like this JPA can apply for a maximum of $75,000. We're asking for, I think, $74,391. Very close to the uppermost limit. The majority of the funds, there's a portion of the funds that are going to go towards a temporary event that will be held either in Rancho Tehama, Los Molinos, or in the Lake California area. And so that's one portion of the funds will go towards that. The other portion of the funds will be used for education and outreach. The agency was the recipient about a year back of the former bookmobile. That was a concept when they wanted to close, or the thought was that they may close the Los Molinos Library and then have a temporary bookmobile service that area and other remote regions. Well, that concept didn't go to fruition, and so the library gave the bus to the agency so that the agency could then hold, bring the bus to field trips to schools, actually. And how I like to describe it as a field trip on wheels is schools don't have money for transportation any longer. So the concept is let's put displays, hands-on displays in the bus and bring the field trip to the kids rather than asking them to come to our facility. And so that grant will also fund the displays in that exhibit. It will also fund hazardous waste proper disposal information for fluorescents, batteries, and general hazardous waste on the sides of green waste disposal trucks, the hauling trucks. And so we'll be able to cycle through. It's going to fund the permanent infrastructure on those, and we can cycle through any type of advertisement that we want to put on those trucks. And Green Waste of Tehama has agreed to host that. They actually really like the idea because they've been needing to repaint their trucks. So the money will also support that. But the benefit to the agency is those trucks are going all throughout the community, and they're only going to Tehama County. So we're meeting the right residents. It will also be opened up to waste management as well to see if they're interested. Most of their trucks are in a little bit better visual condition. So they may or may not be interested in it. So those are the three general goals of the grant. We will be working with our hazardous waste contractor to manage the temporary event, and then the permanent, and then most of the outreach work, we're going to be working with the California Product Stewardship Council to spearhead due to agency staffing levels that are going to assist that and other projects that we may or may not have on our plate.
You want the resolution wording from yesterday?
We have the actual resolution. So I can read it. I don't normally read the resolutions. But the resolution is effective for all hazardous waste grants for a period not to exceed 5 years. That's the typical format that CalRecycle is going towards, whereby we would come back and any grant that we'd apply for, of course, we provide an informational agenda item, and the board does have the ability to rescind the resolution at any time that it chose to do so. But that's the basics of it. CalRecycle will also be offering, that we also already applied for, is a Sharps grant, where we applied for 1 year's worth of Sharps containers, that if funded, we won't have to spend the money that we do spend on Sharps containers for a 1 year period, because CalRecycle's covering that cost. And then there's gonna be another 21st cycle that grant application is going to be out April 1st as well. So we have quite a few grants that are offered in the short term.
So you need a motion?
I need a motion.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
No. No.
Is there any further on the agenda?
No. And that was a bad.
No, it's a good catch for the IQ on 2 to see what happens.
But I will need Jim to sign.
It would have been bad if we all walked out the
door with it.